The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Final hour, Dare Doddick and Chase on this Wednesday afternoon. Dare McFarland, that's me. Willie Doddick and Chase McCabe. Elijah Campbell manning the board at the game studios. We now bring in Ben Arthur, covers the Titans for the Tennessean. He now joins us as the Titans have concluded their work over there today. Today, Mike Vrabel saying that Ben Jones and Nate Davis have been activated off the team's reserve COVID-19 list. So some good news there to have some starting offensive linemen back in the mix. But it's pretty interesting. We played Mike Vrabel's press conference, Ben, and when it came to the right tackle position, Mike Vrabel seemed less than committed to where they're going on Sunday against Arizona. Is that the same feeling and vibe you got being out there?
Yeah, at this point. Well, first of all, guys, thanks for having me on. Yeah, at this point, you know, with the right tackle position, it's still sort of up in the air. I think, obviously, coming into the season, we all thought, you know, Dylan Radins, their, you know, second-round rookie out of North Dakota State, would be one of, if not the front runner, one of the main guys at that spot, but that hasn't been the case. So right now, we're kind of looking at the veterans, right? So we have Kendall Lamb, Ty Sembrello, and then David Kessenberry as well. So it's not really clear at this point where the Titans will go at that spot. To me, it kind of sounds like we, at least for the season opener, we could see somewhat of a, you know, a platoon type system where we see, you know, guys go in and out at that spot. I think in the long haul, you would like to see the Titans establish a main guy there. But I think at least to start, for this season opener against Arizona, we could see guys kind of mixed and matched there.
We seem to be a house divided on this show. If everybody was upright and healthy at that position, who truly would have been the day one starter? Subject to change down the road, but just for week one, I said Kendall Lamb, Chase said Sembrello, and Willie, I don't know if you weighed in or not. I can't remember if you definitively said, but I felt like they wanted Lamb to be the starter. Like I said, if everybody was 100% and ready to go, Chase said Sembrello. If that were the case, who do you think they were rooting to be their week one starter at right tackle if everybody was available?
Yeah, I think, well, to kind of go back to the start of the offseason, right? I think the consensus was that it would have either been Dylan Radins or Kendall Lamb. Kendall Lamb, obviously a veteran, you know, played with the Browns, you know, for a few years, started, you know, has starting experience for them. And based on, you know, the contract they signed him to, you'd think that, like heading into the season, right? Like if Dylan isn't ready, Kendall, would be that guy at least to start the season. And so that was kind of my expectation, when Dylan, you know, wasn't really panning out at least to start this year. But then Kendall had his own kind of injury issue, that he dealt with at the end of, late training camp into the preseason, an injury that he, dealt with. And so I think at this point, he's still kind of working his way, to 100%. So I don't know, maybe he could end up being the guy there. But I know, obviously, the Titans like Ty Sembrelo there. He's a guy who's, you know, stepped up for them in the past, like with, you know, at the left tackle spot when Taylor Lewan went down last season. So I know they have trust in him. And then, you know, Kessenberry, out of the three guys, the three veterans I mentioned, he's the one who's been most available throughout the summer, training camp and preseason. He's been the guy who hasn't really missed time. So in terms of maybe being ready to go, maybe he's the first up. But I think it's still, you know, kind of as you alluded to, I think it's probably still more of a, you know, a competition at this point.
I just did our over-under on the show. Julio Jones catches in week one against Arizona at 4.5. Willie took the under. Chase took the over with, he said, 5. I took the under. Tim Hasselbeck just joined us. He took the under. What say you? What would you take? The over-under, 4.5 catches for Julio Jones Sunday against Arizona.
Ooh. You know, I think I'll have to go with under. You know, obviously we know how big of a deal that acquisition was and what he could, you know, potentially do for, you know, opening up stuff for AJ, opening up stuff for Derek. When you look at the kind of the implications that his presence has, you know, for an entire defense. And, you know, I think we're all kind of looking forward to seeing what he does. But when you just think about how much time he's missed, I mean, you know, he, you know, at the start of camp, he only had what, like 3 or 4 practices. Those were all limited, by the way. And then he misses 3 weeks, returns on a limited basis, and he's kind of slowly started to ramp up. But then Ryan Tannehill was on the COVID list. You just kind of have questions about where their chemistry is at this point. You know, I could see them, you know, connecting on a few targets, you know, in this season opener, but I think it's going to take some time there. And so, you know, I'd probably have to go with the under at this point. I'm thinking maybe three catches, I think, would be what I would expect.
We're talking to Ben Arthur of the Tennessean. He's the beat writer covering the Tennessee Titans. And he joins us here on Darren Donick and Chase. So the big question, or one of the big questions, is the rookies and how the impact that they are going to make for this team. We know Caleb Farley and everything that was related to him in the pre-draft process with his injury and the process that was going to be. They cut a 4th-round pick in Des Fitzpatrick. Now he's on the practice squad. This team clearly needs production out of their rookies. So in your mind, you've been at practice, you've seen it. What are some of the realistic expectations for this rookie class and how quickly they can actually get something out of them?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, first of all, I think Elijah Molden at this point, you know, the nickelback, 3rd-round rookie out of Washington, I think right away he's the one most poised to have an immediate impact. I think we all saw, you know, the promise he flashed in the preseason. You know, he's a very sure tackler. His instincts are great. I think all the coaches and his teammates kind of rave about his instincts. You know, having a dad who played in the NFL. And then I think we saw the Titans deploy him, you know, with some, you know, blitzing packages. And I think he can, you know, be a factor there with those pressure looks. So I think, you know, right now he could potentially be that number one guy in the slot. And so in terms of guys in that rookie class having an immediate impact, I think he's the most poised to do so, at least right away. And then I think with other guys, it could take a little bit more time. I mean, I think Rashad Weaver, a guy who, you know, who really started off the preseason really hot, kind of cooled down a bit. You know, I think it could maybe take him a little bit. You know, he's obviously going to be playing behind Bud Dupree and Harold Landry. So he could be kind of a key, you know, key reserve to start. And then, you know, Dylan is obviously a reserve at this point. Caleb is, Farley is going to be a reserve at this point. Dez, as you mentioned, was cut and is on the practice squad. I think, You know, over the haul of the season, I think, you know, mid to late season, you hope that some of these guys can really start to have a big impact for you. And I think that, you know, kind of, you know, Mike Vrabel's whole mantra is about, you know, kind of rookies needing to earn their spot. So I think that's definitely at play here. So, you know, I think, you know, to start the season, apart from Elijah Molden, I'm not sure who exactly is going to, you know, flash as, you know, an instant contributor. But I think, you know, we'll have a better idea, you know, once kind of midseason rolls around, to see kind of where this class is at. But as you said, you know, they absolutely need this rookie class to kind of be a hit, you know, so to speak, after kind of the issues they had with the class last year between injuries and the whole Isaiah Wilson fiasco. They absolutely need their guys, their first-year guys this year to have an impact.
You mentioned Bud Dupree. Obviously, he was their biggest free agent signing, and they need him to really help this pass rush. Is an area that they have to try and get better, and they're looking for a lot of big things out of him. But I'm curious of since you're new to the beat and you didn't see things last year and the year before. Harold Landry on the other side has been someone that I think we've been waiting to go to another level since he had a 9-sack year 2 years ago that went back down to 5.5. Just being at practice and watching Landry work, what did you see? Not having any preconceived notions necessarily going in.
Yeah, I mean, I think he definitely flashed a little bit. I think that the thing with Landry, though, is that, you know, the coaches have been trying to expand his pass rush repertoire. I think, you know, even though I wasn't here, I kind of had a good idea of kind of the rusher he was and, you know, based on film and whatnot. He's a speed guy, right? He beats guys off of the edge to get to the quarterback and whatnot. I think, you know, with what Ryan Crow, the new outside linebackers coach this year, you know, some of those other guys, those coaches have kind of been working with Harold to kind of expand his pass rush repertoire. So he's not, you know, just a one trick pony, so to speak, like, you know, working on those spin moves, looking at how to beat kind of tackles and offensive linemen in different ways. And so I think, you know, throughout the summer, I saw a lot of him like trying new things. So even if he wasn't, you know, flashing, you know, I think, you know, we did see him, you know, really work diligently at kind of those, you know, expanding those pass rush moves. But then, you know, I think when you add, you know, Bud Dupree and then even adding a guy like Danico Autry inside, I mean, he's Danico has been, you know, a disruptive force, you know, from the interior, you know, throughout his you know, career. And then we obviously know what Bud did in Pittsburgh. I think, you know, those guys drawing more attention than, you know, obviously big, you know, Jeff Simmons taking another huge step this year. I think, you know, the attention those guys are going to get are going to create more opportunities for Landry to, you know, to get to the quarterback and to be a factor, you know, in tackles for loss and whatnot. So Landry is definitely a guy I'm going to have my eyes on this season.
Talking to Ben Arthur, beat reporter for the Tennessean, as we get closer and closer to the opener here. So Ben, you've seen it. The Titans, just like every team, but particularly this team, just watching all of the things that Mike Vrabel has juggled. He's done it before. This is a unique set. We've talked about a lot of them. Julio, Bud Dupree, the COVID situation that Ryan Tannehill was talking today, his own personal experience with that, the COVID of a couple of starting offensive linemen, the right tackle situation, just so many things to manage before you actually see it play out on the field. How have you observed the coaching staff, the organization, just trying to deal with all these things?
Yeah, I mean, I think when the COVID thing did strike, the whole COVID outbreak, you know, a lot of players and coaches too getting placed on, you know, the COVID list. I think, you know, I don't think there was as big of a, you know, panic as maybe that there was last year, because obviously last year it was new territory, right? I mean, there was no vaccine available, you know, the NFL was still kind of learning how to navigate the whole COVID situation. A lot of what happened with the Titans, who were the first team to have that outbreak last season, kind of dictated, you know, how the NFL's protocols evolved over the course of last year. And so, you know, I think, you know, this year there's, there wasn't, you know, we've seen guys kind of come off the list now, but I don't think there was, at least outwardly, that, you know, to us, the media, they haven't expressed any sort of, you know, panic and what have you. And, you know, I think they've been very much even keel. And, you know, I think they've, you know, handled that to the best of their abilities. But also, you know, I think that the thing to watch with the coaching staff is I think that the two coordinators, right? I think, you know, Shane Bowen, you know, being promoted to defensive coordinator, you know, officially, right? He was kind of the de facto play caller last year. I think we've seen him sort of express like a sense of, you know, liberation, so to speak. He definitely feels like this is his defense now, and there's a level of trust and communication, I think, that has kind of come as a result of there being more clarity at the top of the defensive coaching tree. And I think, you know, we've kind of seen that. We saw signs of that in the preseason, how dominant the defense was. And now, obviously, the test is going to be how they, you know, play in the regular season. And then, you know, on the offense, it's going to be fascinating to see, you know, how Todd Downing can get this group together. I mean, obviously, he has big shoes to fill in Arthur Smith departing for the Falcons. But, you know, he has so much talent, you know, on the offensive side. It's almost like there's pressure on him not to screw up. And then when you have guys, you know, the starting O-linemen who are just now coming fully together, Julio missing so much time, Ryan missing 9 days on the COVID list, AJ being in and out of practices, it's going to be, you know, how this offense can gel and how quickly they can do so is absolutely one of the, you know, the big things to watch this season.
Ben, great job. Thank you very much for joining us. Looking forward to your coverage throughout the season. We'll talk to you again very soon.
Sounds good. Thank you guys for having me on.
All right. Ben Arthur, Tennessean, beat writer for the Titans. Look for his coverage, of course, week in and week out. When we come back, we've got more to discuss, including Chase and his outside-the-box cutting-edge techniques to perhaps heal some burns. We'll tell you more on the other side. But first, Darren has a word.
I do. The first Sunday of the NFL season is here, and the excitement continues with DraftKings Sportsbook. The official sports betting partner of the NFL, and DraftKings is giving all new customers a can't-miss offer to celebrate the return of the NFL season. Listen to this. All you have to do is just bet $1 on any football game this weekend and receive $200 in free bets instantly, no matter what. That's right, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new customers $200 in free bets instantly when they bet at least $1 on any football game. DraftKings is safe, reliable, and secure, making it easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. All you have to do is download that top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app. Right now, use that promo code 1025GAME to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any game in week one. That promo code again, 1025GAME. Get your free $200 in free bets instantly this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NFL. You must be 21 years of age or older, Tennessee only. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. Thank you, Pete. Don't forget, this weekend, the NFL Game of the Week is right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. This week's game will be the Browns in Kansas City to take on the Chiefs. Coverage will begin at 2:45, kickoff at 3:25 p.m. Let's give something away. Let's do that. We're feeling a little frisky here today. Let's give you a chance to win a pair of tickets right now to see Santana at First Bank Amphitheater. That's September 29th. Pair of tickets to see Santana at First Bank Amphitheater. That's on September 29th. Caller number 5. Caller 5 at 615-737-7777. 1025. 615-737-1025. That's our phone line driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. Caller 5 will win those tickets. Okay, so let's get to what Tim brought up, who joined us last hour. And at the end, he brought up something that's happened. You're saving lives on Twitter. I've clearly missed this. I don't know what's going on. So, Phil, me and everybody else out there listening who has no idea what we're talking about, fill us in.
Okay, so last night I am scrolling through Twitter, and Emily Proud of News 2 had posted this tweet. Hello, my non-judgmental Twitter friends. It would appear that I was sprayed with hot oil while cooking dinner tonight. Any advice for my arm, which is now covered in very painful blisters, is much appreciated. And she included a picture, and she has burns on her arm. So I replied, because growing up in the restaurant industry, my family owning restaurants, learned a few tricks of the trade, because I did burn myself, as did everybody that worked in the restaurant. My dad has what I call restaurant fingers. Like, I don't think he has feeling in his fingers anymore. He just can pick stuff up. But he taught me when I was working at Pischetti's, I had burnt myself on, I was moving a pan, and it started to slip, and I grabbed it, and I grabbed the wrong part because I didn't have gloves on. So I burnt my hand. And he immediately ran to the refrigerator, and he grabbed a bottle of yellow mustard, just normal yellow mustard like you would put on a sandwich. And he said, hold your hand out, and covered my hand in mustard, and then I rubbed it in. And it felt 1,000 times better. I left it on there for about, I put a plastic glove over it and left it on for 30 minutes, and it worked, and it felt so much better. And so I tweeted at her, giving her that advice. Now, it sounds like hers were pretty bad, pretty severe. It had already gone to more of a blister stage, and she updated later that she went to the doctor, and they fixed her up.
But second degree burns,
which, not good. But I gave her that advice. She thought I was messing with her. I wasn't. People replied to my tweet and said it absolutely works. I've done it. And basically what it is it pulls the burn out. It's the ingredients in the mustard pulls the burn out, and it helps prevent blistering. Now, obviously there are certain degrees, second degree burns. I don't think that's going to help, but hopefully it soothed it a little bit. But I know it's very unconventional and weird, but I promise you it does work. So that's what started all that.
But it was a sensational Twitter scroll because, I mean, Emily, first of all, she put it out there to the Twitter universe, said, I need some help. And Emily does a great job. She does the news. She's a former Belmont soccer player. She does a great job on Channel 2 with the sports crew. She's at everything. She was in need. And she had a lot of people reach out on the Twitter of what to do about this situation, a crisis. And who came to the rescue? It was Chase. She did the method. She did the old mustard.
Did.
There's pictures of it. And even she had the presence of mind to say, yellow mustard or Dijon mustard? And Chase said, yellow mustard.
It is yellow.
She had both available. She applied. So I'm just hoping that this provided some modicum of relief before she got the medical care that she obviously needed. This was no joke. In fact, we had to sort of catch ourselves here like, hey, you know, this is actually a painful situation. Let's not make too much light of this. But she was a great sport about it. So, Emily, if you're out there listening, we hope you're feeling better here. But, Chase, you're a legend now. You're a Twitter legend. Any ailment that's out there, burns, stuff like that, what else have you got for us? We got the mustard for the burns. What else is out there from your restaurant background?
I don't know. It just depends on the situation. I thought I had brought this up before.
See, I have no recollection of this. Darren, have you ever heard this before? Mustard for burns?
No. That is my favorite condiment. Now I feel even better about it.
See, now you have a safety factor you have mustard in the house.
It's an important condiment, and I love mustard. I could eat mustard on almost anything. Yellow mustard.
Yeah.
So now I feel even better about my choice of mustard being my number one condiment. I had no idea.
It totally works. I mean, wow. I've used it several times. I mean, and that was credit to my dad because he told the story of where he heard that, and I can't remember, but you know, that was something. And so anybody that worked for him, if you walked in and you saw something yellow on their hands, it's like, oh, well, they burnt themselves. Put the mustard on. He kept a bottle of mustard at the restaurant specifically for that.
For burns.
And it had a piece of tape on it that said burns.
Burn mustard.
Yeah.
See, it's kind of a bummer for me because I prefer honey mustard or Dijon mustard on my particular sandwiches, depending, or bratwurst, whatever, hot dogs. I'm not as much of a yellow mustard guy, but now I feel like I got to have it on hand just in case the burn happens.
Yeah.
I wonder where that came from.
I don't know.
Like, who came up with that?
So Byron on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says plus one on mustard. Raymond says, I wish I knew about the mustard 2 days ago. Next time. this is interesting. Matt says a spoonful of mustard is great for heartburn, too.
Really?
Now, that I haven't heard.
Huh.
But I guess it's the same.
Well, it doesn't seem to be working for me because I still have heartburn, and I eat a lot of mustard.
Yeah. Interesting. But yeah,
maybe you're not having enough, Darren. Maybe you just add a little bit more.
Oh, no, it's not because I'm not having enough. Trust me.
I don't know where it came from.
Maybe what I'm eating.
I don't know where it came from, but I.
Interesting.
It's one of those things I apply when I need to.
I've never heard that before.
Well, next time you or your wife or your son burns themselves, there you go.
Well, we don't use the oil. I would suggest to Emily the air fryer. That has been like the greatest purchase ever in our house.
Oh, I love the air fryer.
We love the freaking air fryer. You don't have that oil smell in your house anymore, the grease, you know. I love a good deep fry, but, man, it's mess. It's messy. It's a lot of work, and you kind of have that smell lingering in the house for a long time. Man, the air fryer is great. It's gold. Yeah. It is gold.
And I will say, you know, oil burns are a little different because those are gonna hurt worse and be severe, you know. But I gave her the advice because that's what I knew, but she obviously still had to go to the doctor. But yeah, I agree. Air fryer, good way to go.
It's the bomb. Emily, get the air fryer, and you won't have to worry about these burns again.
Probably better for you too.
Trust me. Yeah. Yeah, okay. You're probably right. I'd say that's good.
Even though there's something about, like, you know, deep fried anything. It's just so good.
Oh, I didn't say I didn't like it. Don't get me wrong. I love deep fried, but it's messy. When you have to do it in your house and that smell lingers, and as we just found out, you can get jacked up from it too. You won't get that with the air fryer. I'm just saying. Get the big one, too, by the way. Don't even go with the smaller one. Get the bigger air fryer. You'll love it. We use the air fryer now all the time.
Chicken, fries, whatever.
Chicken, it's fantastic. Onion rings, fries, tater tots, chicken especially. Actually, you'd be surprised what you can put in there. Pizza, you can put all kinds of stuff.
You can reheat stuff.
If I've
gone to I did this not too long ago. I had gotten like chicken fingers at a restaurant. You know, if you microwave them, it makes them mushy, and they're, you know, it's not a, it heats them up, but they lose the crunch.
Actually, it makes them rubbery.
Rubbery. That's there you go. That's a better way to put it. You throw them in the air fryer. It's just like
bomb.
New.
It's a bomb. Yep. It's a bomb.
We're here to help the people today.
We are here to help. But we can just eliminate the whole mustard scene if you just get air fryers. I'm telling you.
Well, and I mean, it's amazing what people respond to. Our text line blowing up. Can confirm 1,000% mustard works for burns. I've used this so many times, no clue where it came from. Nate, does expired mustard work? Oh, Nate.
Maybe to eat, but, you know, for burns, I think you're fine.
Tom has doubled down on eating a spoonful of yellow mustard as a cure for heartburn.
Heartburn.
I'm going to try that next time I have heartburn.
And I can do a spoonful of yellow mustard. That doesn't bother me at all.
Okay. Weston in Columbia, when I was in high school, we would keep packets of mustard on the bench for whenever a player got cramps. Really? Now, that I haven't heard.
Hmm.
What about mustard for hot chicken? James asking that question. Now, I don't know. Does that, I mean, I guess that could counteract the hot chicken you're saying on your tongue.
If you're just getting completely smoldered by some hot chicken.
Do you want me, guys, do you want me to gross you out?
Sure.
Oh, sure. Okay. That sounds like a great idea.
I'm going to gross you out.
Well, I sang earlier, so.
You're going to be probably, a lot of people will be mad. I put mustard on my macaroni and cheese. Like I,
whoa.
I just douse it in yellow mustard.
Yeah, that should be a felony.
I know. I said I'm going to make you mad.
Why?
I just love it. I love mustard. I told
you. Two things that I'm not big into.
Oh, I can eat.
Well, you don't like mac and cheese?
I'm not a mac and cheese guy at all.
I can eat a plate full of mac and cheese with mustard all over it.
Interesting. I don't. Yeah, I can't say that I've ever done that.
School cafeteria, you know, when they would give you the squared pizza, you know, school lunch, the pizza.
Yeah.
I put mustard on mine.
What?
Yep, I did.
So you're like one of those.
Everybody knew it. Everybody knew that I was going to put mustard all over my pizza.
Like, you know how there are these wackos that, like, will literally just eat ketchup out of the bottle? Like, you're like that with mustard, it sounds like.
Yeah. That's why I said it hasn't fixed
my
heartburn.
I like both, but in moderation.
It hasn't fixed my heartburn. Yeah.
I think it would, you know, this kind of harkens back to four questions, but you know what, using a condiment on something that is a little unconventional, like mac and cheese is very unconventional,
very much
for using mustard.
I know,
but you know, like ranch is now, there's like a new, you know, I liked ranch on a salad or with like chicken nuggets or chicken fingers, but now, you know, I like it with fries, and you know, it's used for other things as I've gotten older. A lot of people like will eat ranch on anything.
I'm not a ranch guy. Not a ranch guy.
Yeah, you're blue cheese. I do
blue
know
cheese.
That.
Blue cheese. Yep. Blue cheese. Not a ranch.
Hmm.
So isn't that weird that so many people know that, but yet nobody knows really
the origin
of where it came from, right? Nobody knows really who hatched that idea that seems to work and so many people know about it.
Well, it's just one of those things.
I'm nominating the guy from Little House on the Prairie. Back in the 1800s or wherever that show took place.
1800s?
I think it was the 1800s.
Is that true?
Little House on the Prairie.
I mean, they
was
were.
Set.
Yeah.
Right?
School with chalkboards. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
What's a chalkboard?
Horses and carriage. Yeah, okay.
You know, it is funny, though. I actually, like, for you guys, it was all chalkboards. I was in school when we went through the transition from the chalkboard to the dry erase board. Like when I first started, when I was of schooling age, it was still all chalkboards. And then there was like a time in probably second grade where in our classroom we had one dry erase board and one chalkboard. And like halfway through the year, the chalkboard just never got used. It was all
outdated. Dry erase board. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, but that was like the moment.
So
I remember
you saw
that.
The transition. You saw the move
yes.
happen.
I feel like I was in college when the transition happened. I think at Vanderbilt, depending on the newness of the building.
Really? I don't remember
I had
erase boards.
I think I had some cutting
Are
edge.
You sure?
Dry erase boards, just a couple.
Really?
Yeah, just they started coming in. I was like, hey, this is great.
I don't remember that. Of course, I didn't pay attention much in school. So.
Because I remember the
it was a me thing.
The biggest problem was, since it was such a new thing, is we had a teacher that accidentally wrote on there with a Sharpie, and so had to deal with that.
What happened
in the commercial?
Yeah, the commercial.
Yeah, yep.
Flo did that. Let's go to.
It wasn't Flo. It was the what's the woman's name? That
no, it was Flo.
Lily with 18.
No, Lily.
Oh, it was Lily. Lily. Yeah.
Oh, it was Lily. You're right. Yeah. You're right. It was Lily. That's right.
I'm gonna need a new board. That's what she says. I'm gonna go get a new board.
Let's go to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Drew wants to weigh in on mustard. What do you got for us?
Am I on?
You're on.
Oh, okay, great. I've been a professional cook for over 24 years. Every time somebody gets burned, you would just put a glove and pour yellow mustard in it. And it's because of the vinegar in it, it counteracts it. Stops the burning, and it actually cures it slows the healing. I mean, it actually enhances the healing of it. So it's the vinegar in it. It's the acid.
So here's the thing we're trying to figure out, though, Drew, because there's now enough people that are all confirming, yes, this is a good suggestion for Burns. But what we're trying to figure out is, where in the hell did it come from? Like, who came up with this idea that everybody knows?
I mean, it's just trial and error, but it's acid. It's the acidity. I mean, you could put lemon juice. I mean, I've worked with Mexican cooks, and, you know, they say put lemon on it or lime on it. But I've always, because of the texture of mustard, it's more soothing, but it's the acidity that slows the burning, and it also slows the, it keeps it from enhancing the burning.
Man, wouldn't the lemon hurt like crazy on a burn?
Well, you would think that mustard would.
I burned my hand so bad that I've had a saute pan stuck to my hand.
Oh, gosh.
They told me to put a glove on and put mustard in it.
And it worked.
And I didn't have to go to a hospital.
Wow.
Trust me, I've seen the worst burns ever. Yellow mustard, it's more vinegar, the more acidity. It helps the healing, and it stops the burning. That's it.
Okay. Good call. Thank you.
Thank you.
The history of mustard.
I mean,
the reaction to this
hand?
Is amazing.
Yikes.
Yeah. Ugh.
Oh, go back to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe wants to weigh in on the dry erase board.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Good.
So you were making the comment about when you mark on a dry erase board with a permanent marker, it's almost impossible to get off. I was teaching children's church, and one of the kids decided to do that, and he wrote all over it. Well, I found out that if you write over it with a dry erase marker, it erases right off.
Joe, you are 100% correct.
Wow.
100% yep. correct, yep. Because I do our lineups for baseball on a dry erase board, and I have accidentally done it in a permanent marker, and yes, you do it with the dry erase marker over, and it erases it. It's unbelievable how yep. it works.
Yep. I could not believe that when it happened.
Yeah.
But saved a dry erase board. So thank you.
You're right. Hey, Joe, great call. I thought same thing. When it happened, I was like, such a dope. Why did I pick up the wrong pen? And I'm like, now I've just ruined it. And it was a brand new one. And I was like, man, nope. Right over it, and it comes right off. It's amazing.
Well,
like,
you would
never think that.
No, but you can also use the – like, I've been able to erase it with just the normal spray that you use to clean. Now, you have to scrub.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you write over with the correct marker that you're supposed to be using, the dry erase marker, you write back over what you put on there, it's amazing. It comes right off. I don't even understand it. I don't even know how that happens. But it works. He's right.
That's too bad because
it.
I would have liked
remover works too.
I would have liked my minor league manager to put it in permanent marker, me in the lineup, and just not be able to erase it. Just, you know, every day I'd be batting third or wherever I was.
I don't think we knew about that method back when you were in the minors.
I know.
So you're right.
It's
if
too
they
bad.
Screwed up, they would have. You would have been in the starting lineup. Yeah.
What this other secrets of life do I not know of? Like these, I feel like I just don't know anything.
This is a valid question by Nate. On the text line, is this or the Bridges Tunnels conversation the weirdest, best rabbit hole this show has gone down?
Could be.
This is up there.
Here's the test. The tunnels went on for days.
Yeah,
it did.
Does mustard and this conversation, the dry erase board, does this go on for days?
Yes, because we still have a couple of sections of this mystery we haven't uncovered. Number one is the origin of who invented mustard as a healing for burns, and
right.
number
Where
two,
did it come from?
When were the first dry erase boards? I can tell you for a fact that at Vanderbilt Basketball, we did all of our meetings with eraser boards. So that goes back to 1989, at least. So
wow,
I don't remember any from high school. So
because high school was definitely chalk.
Yeah, but of course, the newness of the building has something to do with it. So
see, that's true too. When I was in elementary school, it was all chalkboards for me.
Yeah,
and that was like in the early.
So we're trying to figure out when did the transition
2007 though.
When did the transition start from the chalkboard to the dry erase?
Well, see, and mine was way before Elijah. You know when the transition started. Now, you know, it depends on the school system. You know, there's obviously finances involved there.
Yeah. Congratulations to Craig. Is it Wooley?
Yes.
Craig Elijah? Wooley. Craig Wooley was the lucky caller. So good job, and thank you, Craig, for listening to the show, because that's why it pays. You just never know when we're going to give something away. Willie, tell everybody about Loan Pronto.
And what was more valuable to Craig, the knowledge that he received about mustard and eraser boards or the prize that he won on our show?
All the above.
It's probably very close, yes. But let me tell you also about Loan Pronto. We're always trying to give out good info here, and we know that mortgage rates have taken a nosedive, and that's what you need to know. Is you can take big-time advantage of this. We're talking about lowest in history here, so don't miss your chance before these rates change and go back up to lock in a lower house payment with Loan Pronto. Call Loan Pronto today. Take advantage of their super popular zero-cost refi program where you can get a rate with an APR in the low twos. No junk fees, no closing costs. Yes, they pay your closing costs. That's money in your pocket. Loan Pronto's all-digital process, too, is very fast and easy. Virtually no paperwork required. Most loans get done in about 14 days. And if you act now, you can skip your next two house payments. Once again, that's going to do wonders for your budget these next few months. And long-term, you're going to lower that monthly payment on your mortgage. Call right now, 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780, or go to loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender.
NMLS 1661781. Subject to lender approval. Not all loans eligible for zero cost option.
Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, presented by Curation CBD. Curation CBD products curated for life. At Dylan Morris 88 says, I remember the day they came in and installed the dry erase board directly over the chalkboard. It felt really weird. I bet.
I think they did some of that at my school, too.
Really? They came in during the school year and just put the dry erase board over the chalkboard. That would be weird.
Yeah, I don't know why they wouldn't just pull the
At J.R. Tuttle 4, when he worked at Legends Restaurant, he tweeted at us, when he worked at Legends Restaurant in Columbia, he had a pan twist and the rubber handle started melting on the bottom from the flame below, and I grabbed it. My hand had a huge burn blister and melted rubber on it, and the manager threw me a pack of mustard. It did zero for a burn like that.
He just followed up and said that he just tried it for heartburn, said it's not completely gone, but it has already helped more than the antacids do.
Hmm, okay.
So remedies for mustard.
I love it. I'm pro mustard. Titans CEO Burke Nihil said that the Titans will host a Waverly football game on Thursday. So how about that? We knew they were working on that.
Thursday the 16th.
Thursday the 16th, right.
Yeah, Rex Road tweeted
when
that out.
On the road.
Yep. So it'll be Thursday the 16th. They will play, I believe it's White House.
Really cool stuff. I saw some clips this morning of the team representatives bringing out all the equipment to the high school. They had a washer and dryer. And
I don't know.
So they really put a lot of effort into trying to help them out. That was a really cool story.
He talked about renovations, too, that they hope to reveal more of the plan later in the season. What's next for that? We know Darren's thoughts.
Renovate. Sminovate. All right, that'll do it for our show. Good stuff. We'll have silly underdog picks tomorrow, along with a lot of other things as we get geared up for the start of the NFL season. The Bucs hosting the Cowboys and inch a little bit closer to the Titans hosting the Cardinals. Enjoy the rest of your hump day. Be safe. We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We'll see you then.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see Kalshi.com/regulatory.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.